Hey, I'm Andy Chanley from 88.5 The SoCal Sound. We've got a SoCal Sound session today with Grace Potter. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
It's good to see you again. I just saw you recently. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute, but let's talk about the important stuff up front. Mother Road, it's the new album, just came out as we're talking this past Friday. And, of course, you've heard the song Good Thing on 88.5 SoCal Sound.
Good time.
I'm sorry.
Good Thing is Mabel John, which is a fucking great track.
It is a good
song. And I actually really like that you made that mistake because your good thing is about to come to an end. Fucking, excuse me, franking excellent. We'll go back.
No, we can. We'll take all that out in post. Good time. I'm so sorry. And so many other songs, and you're going to do a few of them for us here in just a second. And also, you go on tour. You've been playing around. You're out till Thanksgiving. You're off next to New England, again, as we're talking here. But I want to start by doing this, and forgive me for doing it, because I know that sometimes when mistakes happen or when events happen, unexpected things, it's not pleasant for an interviewer. I remember somebody said to Dave Letterman one time, you know, when things go wrong, it's when you're at your best. And he says, yeah, but to me at the time, it feels
feel
like
way.
The studio's full of room temperature saliva. And I just don't like it at all.
Oh, yeah.
I see you a few weeks ago in Boulder at the Fox Theater. Mm-hmm. And you're sitting there singing a song at the Rhodes Electric Piano.
Yep.
And it's amazing. Everyone's loving it. And all of a sudden, it stops. It's like clank, clank.
It made a terrible noise.
It was unspeakable noise.
There was some demon banshee sounds coming out of that thing, yeah.
You don't miss a beat. You stand up and walk to the microphone, and somebody brings out a flying V to you.
Yeah.
And you take that from your tech, and you finish the song that way. And you do another song, and you look over at the piano and it's like, hey, is anybody going to check that out?
Is anybody going to, like, figure out what's going on with that piano over there? Like, I can't do it all myself here, folks.
But you're like, forget it. Frank it. I'm going to finish the whole thing with the guitar. Yeah. And it was amazing, and the crowd adored you for it. It's the chops of somebody that does this every single day. But when you do things on your own, when you do the one-person show, that's kind of the risky thing.
You have to be ready for anything. And I did. I think COVID taught me that. And speaking of a bad, unexpected thing that happened, I don't feel like I'm in a room full of room temperature saliva when that happens. I kind of know that that's what I'm built for. Spontaneity and lightning in a bottle experiences are what I signed up for when I got into music. It's just the immediacy of and the urgency of a song or of music is so much more powerful than a technical difficulty. I refuse to let a piece of machinery get between me and a good song, you know?
That's great. That's great. And the electricity of that moment, everybody was wondering, you know, what's going to happen next? It's pretty powerful.
Well, thank you. It's a little off-putting when it happens, but well, you can't say electrocuted because if you get electrocuted, you're dead.
Yes, technically.
But
yes.
I've been shocked on stage, and I've just sung through it and pretended like it wasn't happening for a whole show before, where once someone else got up on stage and a tech like checked to see what the grounding issue was, they would go whoa, you know, off the microphone, and I don't know, maybe I've got a high threshold, or maybe I'm just a crazy person. Maybe I need that electroshock. Maybe that's what's going on.
It's therapy.
Yeah.
Is that possible? Well, we mentioned the song Good Time.
Yeah.
Here's how you know when you've got a good song, when you've got lightning in a bottle. It's when it reminds you of so many other songs.
Yeah.
To me, I hear a little of the bands up on Cripple Creek with the clavinet kind of thing. Exactly. There's some Faces Stay With Me in it.
Yep.
And you mentioned another one earlier. I hear a little George Michael, Freedom.
Faith. Yeah, Freedom and Faith both are like in that sort of the way I was, whenever I play that song with a guitar, when I wrote it, I was on keyboards. But the second I tried to learn it on guitar, I was like, oh, this is a whole other thing. This has even got a little Ico.
Yeah.
It's got I'll Take You There by the Staple Singers, you know. But for me, it's because those influences are so steeped in what has been a part of my songwriting all along, which is like just honoring the shoulders that you're standing on because I can't do this shit alone.
Let's hear it. This is Good Time, Grace Potter on 88.5 SoCal Sound.
used to drive to Montreal, look up at the departure wall, buy me a ticket anywhere I've never been. I'd look at my planet from above, meet the pilot, maybe make love, touch down and let that city sweep me off my feet. Take me back to the good times when I drank up life like I drank my wine. Why's there always gotta be a window in between me and everything and everyone I wanna see? 'Cause we can't go out, but I still wanna dance. Can't go out, but I still want a chance for love. Oh, 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 oh. No, we can't go out, but I still wanna sing. Can't go out, but I still wanna bring back love. Oh, 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 oh. There's got to be a way that we can turn this ship around. Oh, 'cause you can't keep a good time down. Can't keep a good time. Can't keep a good time. Can't keep a good time down. Now I know what living is all about. I breastfed a stranger once at an In-N-Out. I slipped into my skivvies and danced across the boulevard. Oh, why don't you take me back to the good time when I drank up life like I drank my wine. Why's it gotta be a window in between me and everything and everyone I wanna see? Yeah. Oh, oh, 'cause I can't go out, but I still wanna dance. Can't go out, but I still want a chance for love. Oh, oh, oh. No, no, I can't go out, but I still wanna sing. Can't go out, but I still got to bring back love. Oh, oh, oh. There's got to be a way that we can turn this ship around. Oh, 'cause you can't keep a good time down. Can't keep a good time. Can't keep a good time. Can't keep a good time down. A good time down in my dance hall dreams. I'm a benevolent queen riding on a white horse across the dance floor. I've got flowers in my hair and there's sugar in the air. I wanna live my whole life like it's the last night. Studio 55. Oh, baby, take me back to the good times when I drank up life like I drink my wine. Why's there gotta be a window in between me and everything and everyone I wanna see? Oh, no, I can't go out, but I still wanna dance. Can't go out, but I still want a chance for love. Oh, no, no, I can't go out, but I still wanna sing. Can't go out, but wanna bring back love. Whoa. Baby, 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 there's got to be a way that we can turn this ship around. 'Cause you can't keep a good good time down. Down, 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 no, 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 no. You can't keep a good time down. You can try, but you can't keep it down now. You can try, but it's gonna come around, yo. I can't keep a good time down. No, oh, can't keep a good time. Can't keep a good time. Can't keep a good.
That's Good Time on 88.5, the SoCal Sound, from Grace Potter, who's joined us today for a session. The song is such a good time. You have to have a lot of fun playing that on stage. Everybody reacts to it.
It's just a party song. I needed it, I think, at the time that I wrote it. And everybody, I mean, when the band plays it, we get super into it. It gets rowdy. And, you know, you kind of lose yourself in a song like that.
This is the album, Mother Road. And this is the actual vinyl that we opened up. I haven't pulled this out yet. Is this you on the cover?
That's me. Yeah, I took that. So I was folding laundry with my son. So obviously this has been photoshopped in that I didn't change the shape of my body or anything, but I did put a background in. Like, okay. You know, kind of like a Zoom call where you can just decide what's going to be behind you. I did take the photo of the road when I was driving across country. This was in Gallup, New Mexico, is where the road was taken. But this photo is actually me folding laundry in Vermont with my kid running around in the background in a video still. That I just grabbed the still of the video, painted my fingernails to make them look like I don't chew my nails to death. And just kind of gave it a treatment like it was, I wanted it to look like a VHS video from like a 90s rom-com.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. And you directed all of that.
Yeah, I really had a vision for this record from top to bottom. And obviously, you know, then we get this, the tail lights on the other side. Oops. At nighttime. But this, this thing I'm putting in my pocket here is also the liner notes. So it kind of indicates encourages one to take
awesome.
The map and look at what's going on. Look at the tour guide.
As
it's
that's
called.
Fantastic. Yeah. And then the yellow.
Yeah. Those are postcards.
All these are postcards.
And they're perforated.
So and you could use them.
Yeah, you can actually use them.
And each one has the lyrics to it.
And
that is hot.
Coded. There's a code in there. There's secret little Easter eggs.
That is mint.
But it's all, you know, I mean, are you going to be sad if I perforate for you?
No.
Okay, so
I got mine custom perforated by Grace Potts.
That's right. I'm going to perforate you. But you can also hang them, you know, and have little reminders of your own life and songs that you might need at different moments where you know, a lot of people have their, like, daily calendars with their daily word or whatever.
So I daily wanted affirmation,
these to feel like affirmations and or encouragement, you know, the devil on your shoulder. That's what these liner notes are meant to feel like. But they're also, once the tour kicks off, they're going to be secret passes for separate little events and fun adventures that the fans are going to be able to be invited to go on. It's like Little Orphan Annie code breaking.
I love it. So yeah. if you get the vinyl, you've got the skeleton key.
Yeah. And then obviously this cactus you can see here is the thing I'm shoving in my back pocket there. So there's some secrets being shared there. Yeah.
Mother Road. This is Route 66, right?
Yeah.
Steinbeck. Yeah. So you, why Mother Road?
Because it's the road I took from I did a bunch of driving and writing songs and stories that reflected my life, but also that helped me understand what was wrong. Like, I was really having a problem with losing the ability to play live concerts. I think that really took a big chunk of my purpose out of life for a solid few years where I tried everything. I mean, I was one of those musicians that went and did the drive-ins and
We had some.
All the socially distanced adventures that you could possibly have. I was like, guinea pig, anything you need, I'll be there. Yeah. Totally. And I drove up and down the coast and I was in New England for a lot of it because we bought this farm in Vermont where I grew up. That's my hometown in Waitsfield, Vermont. So we bought the farm. Literally, you know, they say bought the farm, but
we did.
And what ended up happening was that we had kind of the blissful first few months there, and then winter kicked in. Mm. And I went through so many different levels of
seasonal affective disorder,
physical challenges around a miscarriage that I had, but also this sort of feeling that the best days were behind me, like I was literally out to pasture, you know? So in the midst of it all, I think I realized I needed a reason to go take a trip, and I needed to be by myself, I needed to be on the road, and just re-extrapolate the parts of myself that are creative, the parts of myself that want to be a mother, the parts of myself that love being a performer and miss being a performer, also the parts of myself that maybe were just kind of phony, manufactured things that didn't really belong to me, the stories I'd been telling myself that maybe weren't real. Yeah. And I used an excuse because being from Vermont, I needed a practical reason to do anything. I grew up, you know, with very, very practical people around me reminding me, like, you can't just go on a willy-nilly adventure, lady. So the rental car shortage, which was a very real thing in 2020, became my purpose. I went and I had to go retrieve our car from our house in Topanga because, you know, we have this beautiful home that we still own in Topanga. And our car had just been sitting there. So I flew out from Vermont and went and picked up the car and drove it back east.
Drove it all the way back.
Very slowly.
Wow.
And a lot of these postcards that you see are kind of images that I had seen tourist, you know, those little like sort of brochures that they have at motels and stuff, mm-hmm. trying to get you to go look at that coal mine or go to the ghost tour. Or go
right. At Stuckey's.
Yeah,
you pull off
exactly. The... Exactly. Yeah. So I really started building a story in my mind of revisiting some of those big pivotal moments in my life that changed me as a person, as a songwriter, as a performer, but mostly just as me, like not Grace Potter, the one word Grace Potter person, but like, who am I if I am anything? Proper midlife crisis stuff, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
And what came out of it was this kind of ragtag Barnum and Bailey circus madhouse of characters. I forgot about the fact that when I was little, I'd had these imaginary friends, all of whom were kind of my support system because I was a middle child with a very overachieving, incredibly talented, older, so socially adept sister and a brother with some real challenges, epilepsy, nonverbal learning disorder, and a huge slew of challenges in his life. So being the middle child, it didn't give me a lot of chances to step out into the limelight myself until I became a performer. But that identity is tied in with a lot of different stories that we tell ourselves about who we're supposed to be, who, what, we got to make people happy, you got to do it for everyone else, because you can't just not do something anymore if people love it. You owe it to the world to keep doing that thing, and I got kind of resentful about that. So the whole record is an exploration into why do I feel resentful about something so amazing that I have to offer the world, and why do I miss it so much when it's gone? And it led to my favorite record I've ever made.
It's each of the songs are so different. Like yeah. Lady Vagabond
kind yeah.
of starts off as an Ennio Morricone, you know, Good, Bad, and the Ugly kind of thing
sure.
before. Each song is completely different than the other. But yet it all feels like it's part of the same road
trip. It ties together into a road trip that I think ultimately this is a real gas receipt that I really got on the road.
Is it really?
Yeah, this was, I made up the name of the store because I think it's illegal to put like a proper receipt. Like so I made up the new art, but I found this receipt and I love that the ink was running out on the receipt thing.
That's great.
But the tale of Lady Vagabond is essentially... something I made up when I was a 9-year-old kid because I ran away from home in real life, and I thought I had the foresight to make up a story about my chaperone, about a woman who was never with me, but that if anybody asked me, like, excuse me, young girl, why are you here by yourself, that I would have this amazing person. I'd be like, oh, she's just right over there. I'm here, but she's right over there, and she's watching me, so don't worry, I'm fine.
Wow.
And her name was Lady Vagabond.
I love
it. So I found her again on the road.
How long were you away for?
I did 4 cross-country trips. The fourth of which was after the whole record was finished. And
no, at 9 years old.
Yeah. Oh, at 9, I was only gone for like I was gone for a day and I went literally a mile from my house to my neighbor Caitlin Welter's house because I wanted Pop-Tarts.
I love it.
But I remember that the family kind of went along with it and they sort of played into my storyline. Like, my name is Lola Nomada Vasquez. I'm from the Dust Bowl. I'm an orphan. I'm sure it came from watching Annie. You know, I probably watched Annie, and somewhere in there my imagination went wild, and I got this idea to make up a story that I was an orphan and that I wanted to be let into their house to eat Pop-Tarts and play with their daughter. But, yeah, it really felt like it was real, though, because they believed, well, they didn't believe me, but at the time they made me think that it was... that they believed me.
Yeah.
And because they leaned into that lie, if you want to call it that. I would refer to it as my wild imagination expressing itself. But it was like in Home Alone when Kevin goes, I made my family disappear.
Right.
You know, like he your concept of truth and reality gets really skewed when an adult sort of validates your deepest desire or what you think is your deepest desire. And it teaches you some pretty big lessons.
I love it. The song right after Lady Vagabond is Rose Colored Rear View.
Yeah.
You're going to play that for us next. What's that about?
That song is really about after being on a journey like the one I had been on, I realized that I had rewritten so much of my life into and sort of reverse engineered my story, and that I liked my reverse engineered story much better than the truth. And I needed to square with the actual truth. And so this was sort of the fight within myself that I had on the road on the third of my four trips, where I had to accept that that it was fake. If you acknowledge that it's fake, then and that you've manufactured parts of your life, this is me looking in the rear view and there's Lady Vagabond. Kind of my excuses for myself or for my unhappiness might actually lead to the absolution of those fantasies while still acknowledging them to be alive. And so Rose-Colored Rear View is that journey.
Rose-Colored Rear View. It's Grace Potter on 88.5 SoCal Sound.
Hey there, pretty girl, you got everybody's eyes. It's $5 at the door, but you ain't gotta pay tonight. 'Cause the moon is shining golden, like a fallen angel holding your spotlight. Feel it flooding back into me. Watch my memories like a movie. In my rose-colored rear view, where everything is brand new and everything's gonna be alright. I may be the one to blame, still I'm pouring pink champagne on the fire. When the truth don't set me free, I kinda like the lies I see in my room. Color rear view. Hold the ghost at bay. I can't talk to you tonight. Do what you do best, run away and hide. And if you won't go, then I will, 'cause I know how to take the keys and drive. I'm climbing out of my own shadow, blowing smoke and looking into my rose-colored rear view, where everything is brand new. And everything is gonna be alright. I may be the one to blame, still I'm pouring pink champagne on the fire. When the truth don't set me free, I kinda like the lies I see in my rose color rear view. Is what I'm making in my rose-colored rear view, where everything is brand new and everything is gonna be just fine. I may be the one to blame, still Still I'm pouring pink champagne on the fire. I'm singing la-da-da, c'est la vie. It's all the same to me in my rose-colored rear view.
Rose-colored rear view from Grace Potter. So glad you're here. Thank you for sharing these songs with us.
Absolutely.
We got one more to go here in just a couple of minutes, and then we'll let you go. But so Mother Road. Can I ask a personal question?
Yeah.
You you were out on Route 66. Did you get your kicks?
I did get my kicks. I actually, you know, one of my biggest sort of like aha moments was that I got ogled by a young man in a car in Tucum Cary. He said something to the effect of, I'll follow you anywhere. Where are you going? Like, what are you doing? Why are you here by yourself? What's going on? And I was like, oh, I'm just like out on the road. I'm just like, yeah, doing my thing. And I was sort of brushing him off, but he was just so captivated by me. I went to breakfast that morning by myself in a diner. I was like, I think that's what they mean by kicks. Like, nothing needed to happen. I just enjoyed the ogling.
Yeah.
In a way that made me feel like I was 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
And brought me to a place of peace within myself of like, oh, was I just looking for attention this whole time? Is that maybe all this has been about? But I do think getting your kicks is about being taken out of your comfort zone and putting yourself into a situation where you're scrambling the eggs all different. And whatever you do with those scrambled eggs in this new journey that you're on, it's got to be exciting. If it isn't, then we wouldn't have shows like Westworld.
Right.
You know?
Right. That kid didn't have a chance, though, because
no.
You're spoken for.
I wasn't interested. His car was, it smelled. But he was so cute. He really was. It was all I needed was that sparkle of delight, yeah, of the acknowledgement that something could have transpired.
Yeah.
And it just was delightful. It was so kicky.
That's awesome. You're off the market, though. Eric Valentine, same guy that produced this album.
Yep.
And did albums. Third Eye Blind, Queens of the Stone Age.
Smash Mouth. Nickel Creek. That new Nickel Creek record also immersive. They were working on that record when this was written.
And they're such wonderful people.
I love them.
It's so much fun to be around.
Amazing performers.
So you also expanded your family in the last few years.
Yeah.
All of this change,
yeah,
I understand why you'd need a little sabbatical, a little girls' weekend out to go and
me parlay and all my girls.
Yeah, parlay everything into its proper place in your mind. Yeah. How has this changed you? Is that too open-ended the question?
Mm-mm. It has changed me profoundly. And I think the thing I didn't expect was that that parenthood doesn't fix everything. Parenthood and repositioning yourself or superpositioning yourself into two places at once, which is essentially a creative entity that needs to continue to find their outlet while also feeling or presenting as a settled human being that has the answers for this young person who is looking to thrive, looking to find their way, and trying to square the life their parents are presenting to them with the reality that it's maybe a little different than everybody else's life. Yeah. And for me, I think coming back to Vermont was a big trigger in that I thought California was my happily ever after. I had this beautiful home in Topanga Canyon, a safe distance from a city, but still really within the realm of that energetic pulse.
Yeah, 45
of a city.
Minutes from here.
And I knew that Vermont was a place we would end up settling back down into, especially when he became a teenager, because I wanted and saw our life moving toward a more peaceful and humble beginning for him. But I wasn't really ready for it. And he was a reminder every day of the thing I made and created out in California. Like, it was weirdly a birth and death feeling to look at my son and remember his birth, remember, you know, holding him in my arms for the first time, and Eric and I connecting so deeply over this urge to bring another human into the world. And my vision of it, my story that I told myself of, like, I can be both things. I can be a rock star. I can be a mom. I can be a humble Vermont farmer and a rock star, and I can tune those two radio stations together, and it's all going to mesh perfect. And when it didn't, I just felt like such a failure for him, because I wasn't able to present this sunset happily ever after that I had always pictured presenting to my child. And that was the big surprise of parenthood, was that I didn't have control over how I presented to him. He saw through all of it, you know?
It's interesting. All of our stories are different, but I remember being nervous about being a dad for the first time.
Yeah.
And, oh my God, I've got to feed this kid. I've got to change their diapers. I've got to shelter them. I've got to get them to school. I've got to do all of these things for them. Yeah. You bring them home and you realize, not right now. All they need right now is for me to hold them.
Be present.
All they need right now is this next meal. They just one moment at a time. Yeah. And then when one of ours was sick, we were at the hospital, and my wife lamented that we weren't at home. She goes, she was crying. I just wish she could be home.
Yeah.
And the nurse said, she's in your arms. She is home.
She is home, as far as she is concerned.
That's the entire world for her. And when you realize that you have a human being, if you're full of yourself, for the first time in your life, somebody else means more than you do.
I mean, it's like they say, it's like having your heart walking outside of your body, you know? Yeah. And I definitely feel that. It was weird to be away from him too, and Eric, because they're such a part of my narrative and my structuring of my life, my day-to-day life. And that routine, I didn't realize how comforting it was until I was out on the road, kind of determining when I go to bed and when I drive and when I stop for gas or stop to go pee. And I didn't have to curtail my schedule to my people for the first time in a long time. And at first it was refreshing, but then I really felt this aching, miserable emptiness without them that you simply, it's the toothpaste you cannot put back in the tube. Once you love something that much, it's very, very difficult to detach yourself from it. And I found that that's where the healing came from, was in the missing, that I'd rather miss something or even grieve something I've lost than to not feel those feelings at all.
Yeah.
You know?
I wish you all the best with your new family and your new album and all of the other adventures that you've got underway. It seems like it's a pretty exciting time to be you.
It's very exciting. I've been waiting a long time for it, but I also feel like I appreciate spending time. I think I mentioned, this is like the most in-depth interview as far as just talking about what this means for a song and how a song comes together. And when I talk to you about it because you're a parent, I'm guessing we have kids around the same age, maybe even. Mine's going to be 6.
I got almost 13 and 8.5.
Yeah, 8.5. There's so much about that I think changes your brain.
Yeah.
And the songs that come out of me now are wildly different than the ones before I was a parent. And I appreciate your well wishes, and I just hope I don't F him up too much.
I think you're going to be fine, especially if people go out and buy this and get it on vinyl.
My kid has to go to college, okay? So this is up to you, folks.
This is a college program. So get the album. It's out, available now, wherever you get records. And go see her when she comes to your town, your village. Are you going to play one more song and play us out?
Yeah.
And you're going to do the title track, Mother Road.
Yeah.
But not the way people hear it. Yeah. On this, we've got a piano up here that you've played before.
I love this piano.
It's like it's like the upright piano in the basement of a Baptist church somewhere. There's something gospel about it.
It is. It brought out, for me, the last time I was here was when Daylight came out, and that record had a lot of already existing sort of gospel and soul piano ballads on it. But this record doesn't really have that. But I'm excited to play it because I think it'll bring out a new edge in that song that is maybe a softer side of the song that feels to me like, I mean, I wrote it on piano initially, so I think it'll be cool to revisit that original sentiment.
All right, let's let it play us out. I'm Andy, she's Grace Potter, and this is 88.5, the SoCal Sound. This is Mother Road.
I checked in at the crossroads. I met some strange folk. They ran a cheap motel. I could hear every whisper through the walls of the rooms. It felt a little like a prison cell. I wrote a song about a dream I had, and then they rang that dinner bell. And they whooped and they hollered when I came in, saying, girl, you're going straight to hell. Down Mother Road, once again I turn to you, 'cause you know how I feel, mama, you've been run over too. So can I lean on your shoulder just until my feet find the ground? And wherever I'm headed, mama, don't let it be down. I took a little detour out to the crater. The sky was wild with rage. I drove my car like a rocket taking off down that sunset straight away. There's an endlessness in the way I feel when I wrap my hands around that wheel. Only I know just how far I'm gonna go, go, go down the Mother Road. I always come back to you. You know just how I feel. You've been run over too. So can I lean on your shoulder just until my feet find the ground? Yeah. And wherever I'm headed, mama, don't let it be down. Let it be done. And I don't really know if the day will ever come when I find that peace within. But as I roll down this rugged highway, I'm closer than I've ever been. Caught in Oklahoma, driving too fast. I felt my world slow down, and I made my confession to the highway patrol. I said I was lost, but now I'm finally found. Well, she gave me a ticket anyway, but I didn't put up a fight, 'cause I've driven a million miles, lived a million lives. Now mama's headed home tonight. Down Mother Road, I always come back to you. Show me the way, mama, just like you always do. Yeah, 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 I'm gonna find my true north, out west or down south. But I keep on rolling till I figure it out. And wherever I'm headed, mama, don't let it be down. Mama, don't let it be down.